Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
time to start preparing for winter.
it's been kind of getting nippy lately, you know, in the nighttime. Got getting cold in the morning, even throwing a couple logs in the stove. Can't believe how quick this summer went, you know. But anyway, I hope that you're all doing well and you're keeping warm and whatever. And once again, Saturday night, September 9th. I remember last year, September, I forget when, it was probably later in the month, but it snowed. It was just a dusting, but something to let you know what the deal was, you know. And I'm kind of dreading that because it seems like I ain't ready for it this year. Most people aren't, but last year I wasn't ready for it either, but somehow I made it through it, you know. And, you know, I was wondering if anybody knew this word called caste. I was looking on the, you know, zipping through on the internet, and I seen California's gonna make a law to prohibit caste. But the more I checked on it, caste is a society of, or it's not a society, it's a status that certain societies in Asia use, like India and Tibet and all them, you know. And in other words, if you're born rich, you're privileged to stay rich. And if you're poor, that's all you're going to be. In other words, you can't climb the ladder. And it's weird how over here in this country, Washichu invasive species running it, but these other invasive species, these ones call themselves from India and different groups like that, that swarm this country and buy up all the motels. And for some reason, you know, they ain't doing too bad, but they got a system where they prejudice against their own people, and it's called caste, C-A-S-T-E. It's like their version of the KKK, I would say, you know. And, you know, how does that affect us? We don't have that in our society, but what gets me is why do things happen over here in this country where these Washichu ain't even supposed to be here, but these people come from other countries and then they slap their own rules down, and I don't know if it affects us or not, you know. But I was thinking about it because a couple months ago, or maybe not that long ago, I got into it with a motel lady. Her and her husband run motel. And, man, she was talking to me like I was some kind of a bum. And now that, you know, I didn't understand it, but now that I see it, I realize in her brain, she automatically thinks she's more entitled than me, even though I was a paying customer. You see, and I noticed that about these people. They come over here, and you would think, because they're people of color, they would have some kind of sympathy for us, you know, or for other people of color. But no, they don't, you know, they don't whatsoever. You know, they don't. So, but I seen this article, and I kind of posted it on my Facebook profile about this, about caste, and how Washington State made it illegal. They banned this system in Washington. So California is going to ban that system of caste. Well, I thought this government already has a law regarding discrimination. You know, I mean, especially when you have a business or you're in some kind of group society and you have to get a license or, you know, to operate businesses or whatever. And one thing this country's supposed to have is these discrimination laws and racism and stuff. So I thought that automatically took care of this issue that I'm talking about. But I guess not. But it made me think, because I got into it with this motel lady, you know, and she was really talking bad to me. She was calling me a liar. I didn't say nothing to even lie. All I asked her, they was stingy with their little, those little tubes of shampoo and conditioner they give. Well, they only had one in the room, and there's three of us in there. So I asked, just go get another one. And Eric came back and with just one shampoo, no conditioners. So I went over there. I said, hey, how much does this cost? You know, I said, shit, I'll just buy it from her. Because usually when I go to a motel room, I always have take my own shampoo, my own soap and everything, anything. But in this case, I forgot it or I didn't have it with me. For some reason, I didn't have it. So I was just going to use theirs, you know. Anyway, they were stingy with that little thing. And when I asked what it costs, I mean, hey, how much does one of these things cost? You know, I'll buy it. Boy, she jumped all on my, like I offended the hell out of her. And she jumped on my case for about 10 minutes. And so I said, well, Sal, I'll check out. I was supposed to stay there 2 days. I just went to the room, packed my stuff, walked out. She ran back to the room and went in there and checked out everything, you know. She even wanted the key, the holder, the little piece of cardboard that you slip the key in, you know, protect it. She wanted that back. But now that I see what this caste is, you know, I see they automatically think they're better. So since they're motel owners, in their brain, they're a bigger status. And to them, whether I'm a customer or not, I'm just a damn Indian to them, you know. And that's what makes the difference, you know. So I really was thinking about that. I said, wow, you know, this is something, you know. I mean, I got so mad I even was going to report them to their whoever owns them. But I know that won't. Anyway, I got out of it, let it go. You know what I mean? No sense in wasting my time on them. I'll just never go there again. But anyway, another thing I was going to mention was I seen on the news where this Minnesota tribe was getting their land back, or getting some land back. The government gave them some land back. This was on the news just the other day, couple of days ago. And what tripped me out about it was they had an Indian talking about it, you know, interviewed an Indian. And what really got me was he said, we've been here for 10,000 years and they gave us this land back. So we want our children to be able to have that for 10,000 more years. I don't know what you guys think. But all I know is we weren't here for 10,000 years. We were created over here. So, you know, here's some kind of spokesperson for their tribe or something and saying, they're only there 10,000 years. And that's what I'm talking about. Indians don't know what the hell's going on with themselves. They don't know nothing about themselves. All they know is what they read or what somebody told them. Even my own relatives, you know, my cousin, I got into with her because she acts like a pure white girl. I hate to say that word. That acts like a real pale-faced American. She told me, she said, Yeska means half-breed. You know, arguing with me about that, Yeska. Now, most of you out there ain't Lakota, so, you know, I can't, you know, probably, but I'll explain what the word Yeska means. Anyway, it doesn't mean half-breed. It means interpreter, like our medicine man. They're Yeska. Inside the ceremonies, they're Yeska, Yeska. They interpret for the spirits. And that's what you call them in the ceremony. Apparently, she never been to ceremony. My own blood cousin, you know. Her father, my father, brothers. But you see, that's how different we are from our own relatives. I mean, people are really divided. You know, the reason why she thinks half-breed means Yeska is because in the old days, the interpreters were half-breeds or mixed bloods because they could speak English and Lakota. So that's why they were called Yeska. It didn't mean they were half pale face. It meant they were interpreters. So this new generation are these blank ones. They actually think that that's what a mixed breed is, Yeska. Well, that's not. You know, it's not. So, you know, that's the truth too. So, our own people, they think they're spokespersons for others. So anyway, this tribal member, whoever he was from Minnesota that got the land back, said that on camera, on TV, on the news, he was being interviewed. Yeah, we were here for 10,000 years before. I don't understand. Where these Indians, natives, or whatever you want to call them, get that idea that we were only here 10,000 years? I mean, in other words, the Washichu told them that, so they believe that. The Catholics told them that, so they believe that. I mean, what that says is probably 90% of the Indians walking out there actually believe we only been here 10,000 years. And that is a bad deal because that shows how weak we are. We Indians, natives, indigenous, all these tribes, they run around. My tribe included. I'm not no way saying mine's better than anybody else. Because I heard a tribal member from my tribe, Sichanghu Lakota, in Washington. I was overseas. I was abroad, and I was watching the news over there, and they had some Indians talking in Washington D.C. And here I am, way across the ocean, and here's my own relatives from my own tribe on there talking, oh, I'm proud. Yeah, that's my people. Yeah. And man, I was so proud to hear my people out there talking and hear that guy said, and don't forget, we were here 10,000 years before you. As soon as he said that, he just ruined it. And this is Lakota. I mean, what's going on here? We go to ceremonies. I thought we do. I know I do. I do. When you go to ceremonies, they don't say we came here 10,000 years ago. When we got creation songs, songs of how we got here, where we came from. They don't believe in these songs. These songs are the oldest songs on earth that people still sing. We sing them today. Nobody on earth sings songs 200,000 years old except, you know, Indians. Well, we do. I mean, I know other tribes have their own songs. Some of them still sing them too. And matter of fact, I learned some Shoshone songs. I learned a couple Navajo songs. I picked up Apache songs and Crow songs. Not a lot, but I picked them up, you know. And I like them. I like to hear other tribes sing their songs. To me, when you go up there and tell and be a spokesperson for us, speaking for us, for me, for all of us, because we ain't on TV, we're sitting over here without a voice, and you're standing out there in front of a bunch of Washichu and telling them, yeah, hey, we were here 10,000 years before you. Oh, you just ruined it. And this guy talking about they got land back, Minnesota. Well, and we've been here for 10,000 years. You know, that land's been ours for 10,000 years. What the hell is he talking about? First of all, let's say this. Call them giving this land back. They didn't take our land. They're just squatting on it. They're living on it. And in their brain, they think they own it because that's their Peckerwood logic. They own it. Wakantanka didn't give us deeds or nothing to this land. He put us there and says, this is where you're from, where you live. Take care of this, they take care of that, we take care, you know. But he didn't give us a title. And all that stuff, you know? So it's strange how tribes and other natives are losing their way. Another thing, you know, I always hear crazy stuff like on Facebook hearing Indians and especially them ones that just found out they're Indians, like Mexicans and stuff like that. You look and listen to their arguments, how they fight with each other, how they argue about Aztecas and Incas and all them and who was the baddest, you know, and who fought this and who is whose enemy. They don't know nothing because they read that stuff. I don't read nothing, but I learned our songs. I sing our songs. You know, our songs don't talk about war. In modern times, we ended up having songs, you know, like about stuff like that. Now they have the flag song, you know, and Tanshi Vimber was on here talking about the flag, and we don't need to talk about it. actually, because I always talk about common sense, right? Common sense. Common sense. We never had no flags. We had staffs or some other symbol of our spirituality and our way of life. We didn't run around with a flag. So now they got a flag song to honor the veterans. They even got it where they think veterans are more entitled than the rest of everybody else. Veterans automatically get land and whatever. All you got to do is go fight for the white man, and then the Indian will come back and be so proud of you. They'll treat you like God. While the rest of the people struggling for water, for homes, etc. And then veterans, they have land. They even give them lawnmowers and go there and cut their lawn, make them look nice. They fly that American flag. But you see, we can't change that, right? I sure can't. But all I can do is do the best I can, and hopefully other people will go back to use some common sense, learn our culture. It's real easy. You can learn the songs. The songs tell everything about us. If you're somebody that goes to ceremonies and listens to songs and sings them and this and that, you should know. These songs aren't just, you know, these songs are meant to express our spirituality. They're not like songs we listen to on the radio, you know. You know what I mean? They're not like that. They're not songs to sing in the shower. I mean, yeah, you could sing in the shower, but I mean, you know, these are songs that are prayers. And they say everything. They're songs we have for everything, you know. So when somebody said, we've only been here 10,000 years ago, I know damn well he don't have common sense. Or when they say, the Spaniards brought the horse over here, I know damn well what's going on, where that information comes from. We're here. You know, this radio podcast, or whatever you want to call it, I've been doing this one here for quite a while now, way 18 years. I forget when I started. I have to go back and look, I'm sure. Because it don't matter to me how long I've been doing it. All I'm saying is I've been here every Saturday night for years and had several people come on and talk and participate. And I don't close the doors to anybody. Face, our Europeans came on here and talked on the radio. I don't care. Afros came on here and talked. You know, if you have a voice for humanity, a voice to speak about good things, yeah, I want to hear it. I don't care if you're not, you know, whatever. But when you get on here, like I had to throw some people off or block them because they get on here and start using the F word, cussing around, calling us names, I had Christians come on here and start trying to preach God. Then another thing I can't stand is when somebody comes up here and wants to promo pot, hemp, or whatever. I'm not going to do that. I don't care how legal you think it is or what. I mean, I'm not going to do nothing on here that I don't want my child to do. I'm not going to sit up here and promo hemp, pot, or you call it hemp, or you call it cannabis. Call it what you want. But all I know is what you really call it. You call it pot. You call it weed. Mary Jane, Peggy. I know what you call it, but just to sound elite now, you're calling it hemp, cannabis. You know? Anyway, back to what I was talking about before, because I'm not going to promote that stuff. But what I am saying is we've been here. A lot of you guys been here too, Wayne, Philip, and others. Layla, Coles, all been here, including John Davis out there. Hello, John. And the message that I have, or we have, for the American Indian Movement is how we started. The American Indian Movement started to preserve culture, Native culture, real Native culture. Preserve it. So you don't go running around ashamed of it. Because before, people were ashamed to even sing on a drum. When they lived in the cities, they weren't saying they were Indian. They were saying, oh, I'm Spanish. I know one guy even said he was Jew. I said, liar, I know who you are. Another guy in California is telling people he's Mongolian. You know, we're Mongolians. I said, I know for a fact you probably are, because you got relatives that ain't from Lakota country. We know about you. So, yeah, you're probably Mongolian, Chinese, Asian, or whatever, because we do have some mixed Asians. You know, 40 years ago, our people used to go down to Scott's Bluff, Alliance, and down there, Colorado, and work in the fields. Who was there? Mexicans were out working in the fields, and Asians, and then some Afro people. So our people got mixed, and some of them, you know, there's some families that are part Asian, and there's some families that are part, you know, we say Spiola, you know, and Hassapa, you know, mixed. There's nothing wrong with that. But because you're part Asian, don't go out there saying, yeah, we came from Asia just to make yourself look good. Or because you're part European, you're saying, oh, Crazy Horse was half white. You know, I got, you know, so you can not be ashamed. That's baloney. They do anything to justify something. You know, but our position is, and I hope that people that tune in, is to get things right, to correct things. You know, like somebody asked me, because somebody died, so his family or somebody in his family took his pipe stem and burnt it, and then buried the the stone, the, you know, the bull, buried the bull. Asked me what I thought about that, if I ever heard about that. And I said, actually, I never did hear about that. But I do know that a lot of times when our people pass away, they will say, I hope this Talkozha can have my chanupa. I know my nephew carries my grandma's chanupa. You know, and sometimes we pass stuff down like that. But I never seen anybody split a chanupa up and burn one side and bury the other side, you know. The chanupa, that bowl and that stem, are a relationship that's never to be broken. Or does that make sense to any of you? You know, maybe it don't. Because a lot of things apparently outside in the world don't make sense to people. And I don't say these things because I'm an expert. I'm not no expert. I don't consider myself no spiritual leader. I don't consider myself no chief. I don't consider myself, damn sure don't consider myself no celebrity because I host the program. All I do myself is live with common sense. That's all I do. I live with common sense. Common sense tells me we didn't come from China. We're not Mongolian. Common sense tells me everything I need to know. You know? Like being around horses all my life. I tell you right now, the Spaniards couldn't be bringing horses across that ocean because one horse by itself will eat 5 acres of grass real quick. And twice that much in water. So how in those little Spanish ships, how are they hauling all that hay and water in a little ship to feed all the horses they brought from Spain? You know? And the other thing, in Spain, the horses that they say they brought over here are extinct. They're going extinct. There's hardly none left over there. Why? Because they didn't come from there. They came from here and went over there. They took our horses back over there. There's so much that people need to learn and use common sense. You know, I've been around a lot of tribes, and the older people of all these tribes always have good teachings. And they'll all tell you the same thing. They'll tell you to learn your language, learn your songs, and learn how to live in the spirituality that we're given. And they tell you to be proud. I know my dad was like that. I remember when I was young, I lived down there in L.A. with all the Mexicans, you know. So to get along, I was slicking my hair back, you know, and slapping on some baggy pants, you know. But when I got home, as soon as I got off the bus, got to the house, I grabbed that comb and switched my hair up. Oh. And I had bobby pins, they call them. Not bobby pins, baby pins. And I would tighten my pants back up, you know. Wasn't going for that. He wanted me to be proud, Lakota. You come to my house in L.A., in the barrio. You're going to walk in our house, you're going to hear mom and dad talking La Cota. You're going to sit down and eat some gabubu bread, you know, soup, meat, you know. I remember, you know, we eat gabubu bread. It's really thick. It's just dough fried, not with grease, you know, not thick grease. Call it gabubu bread. Well, the Mexicans had their tortillas. And their tortillas are made the same as gabubu bread. Only thing, ours are thick, you know, like 1 inch thick or almost an inch thick. And you know how flat a tortilla is. I was down my Mexican bro's house, and he told his mom, he said, "Hey, Ma, you should go down Richard's house." He said, "His mom makes tortillas like that." And he held his finger like an inch apart. He thought those gabubu bread was big, fat tortillas, you know. You know, but you see, everybody becomes a victim to the society they live in. So even myself, I became like a victim. I was in gangs and all this stuff, and I even was learning Spanish and all, you know, everything. The only difference was, when I went in my house, that was an Indian house. And when I was young, my dad sent me to live with my grandma on the res every summer, you know. So my Mexican bros knew I was Indio, you know. Yo soy el Indio, ese, you know. They knew that, but they were proud of me for being Indio. They liked it, you know. And as I got older and stuff, a lot of them realized they were Indios también, you know, Indios also, you know. I noticed that some of them didn't have Mexican names. Like, I had a bro named Kenny Charlie, another one named Jojo Scott, you know, Robert Reichoff, different. A bunch of names, you know, and come find out some of them weren't Mexican. You know, one of my main bros, I call him Mexican Black. Everybody calls him Mexican Black. Well, he's Apache, you know. And this other one named Sloppy that knew from Barrio, his name was Sloppy. Well, he's Shoshone. Same way with Kenny Charlie. They're Shoshone. You know? And so a lot of Indians lived in L.A. And because of our color and because of the racism and fighting with the pale face and the Africans, you know, because of that, we automatically were accepted by these Chicanos, because they used to like it, because we'd be over there, you know, scrapping with them Packerwoods and, you know, the Afros and this and that, you know. And they liked it because that was who they were. So that's why we're in with them. But I always feel bad, you know, for the ones that were raised in different societies. Pine Ridge, some, you know, when they sent us on relocation, they sent some to Cleveland, some to Philadelphia, some to Florida, some to, you know, us to L.A., send us all over. And I seen some Indians coming back from Philadelphia with their hair turned into Afros. Yeah. Then I seen some of them, you know, really copying Washichu, not too many, but you see. So it depends where we went and who you hang out with. You would end up a certain way. But right now, we have an opportunity to bring back our cultures to our people, you know. And the American Indian Movement, that's what they did. Because the American Indian Movement was the only, I hate to call them organization, but only group that was big, could manage with all the tribes. You know, so all the tribes got along in the American Indian Movement because we get along anyway. You know, so the American Indian Movement were natives, indigenous from all over the country. And that's how it was, and they encouraged everybody to walk in their own tribal way. So when Dennis Banks, Russell Means, and all of them went to Minneapolis to help them fight the injustice there, the police, against the police. The police and them were racist to Indians. That's how AIM, you know, developed in that area. It wasn't because those tribes own AIM. It's because AIM developed there because when Russell Means and all these Lakotas showed up there with drums and started, and Dennis Banks used to run around with Lakotas. He always did. That's why he went Sundance and, you know, he knows Lakota songs, Dennis Banks. And they ran around with Lakotas. And they went to Minneapolis. The drums they took were Lakota drums. And they asked Crow Dog to bless their way. You know, they gave him opage, you know, offering. And that's how the American Indian Movement was meant to walk in a spiritual way. It was a spiritual movement. But people don't know that. They don't care. They think it's a movement where you slap on some kind of funny hat and slap red bandana around your face and run around and look tough. Well, even Leonard Peltier will tell you, was telling people that ain't what AIM is about, you know. I was trying to, I wonder if this is there, see if it is. I'll check this out. You know, we're playing here with Washichu toys, and or maybe you can't even hear me for all I know. Hey, what's going on here? Oh, I see. I was getting kicked off the internet.
One of the things we've got to do, we can't just be going around here claiming to be American Indian Movement members and we're concerned about people and everything else. So we've got to really start doing stuff. You know, building community gardens, chopping wood, hauling water, whatever they need is done. I said, that's your responsibility. That's what a warrior's responsibility is. Not just prancing around with a gun in their hand and thinking, showing everybody they're tough. I said, that is, in our society, that's not a warrior's role.
You see, that's Leonard Peltier. Even him, he was saying that. You see, way back then. So, you know, we're not. That's the truth. AIM supposed to be running around looking like gangsters, looking like, you know, trying to look tough, you know. I mean, we're you got to remember, indigenous people, we're peaceful people. We're humble people. So don't go out there running around looking unhumble. Don't go running around there looking learn how to smile, damn it. Well, take a picture, smile. Be standing there looking, see these guys taking profile pictures, really looking tough, you know? Yeah, I'm an Amster. Amster gangster, you know? Shoot. You know? We need to get away from all this stuff, and we need to show the kind of people we really are. That's why I don't like it. I got a bad mouth, you know, I admit it. But we're here presenting the indigenous nations. There's people from around the world tuned into us, whether you believe it or not. Sometimes they even call in. So am I going to represent my people by saying the F word every other thing and talking about getting high on pot, you know? I was talking about I made a garden, you know? This was a few months when summer started. I said, yeah, man, I made a garden, you know, and I planted some melons. I was kind of bragging what I planted. And there's some Lakota said, you need to plant some hemp. What an idiot. You need to plant some hemp. What the hell I need to plant that for? The next day I seen him on Facebook begging for money because he needed to go to a meeting in Rapid City where they were going to educate people on how to grow hemp. Stuff like that kind of really irks me because, you know what, this radio show, I never once go out and beg for money. I let Wakan Tonka deal with this radio show. You never hear me asking. But there's another Indian radio show, you know, Minneapolis guys. The first 15 minutes of their show, they're talking about how to send them money, how much money they need to operate, how much this. They spend 15 minutes, and then during the show, they keep reminding you. You know what? You know what we call money? Mazaska. Mazaska is wicked. Everybody needs money. We all need it. But I'm not going to go out like some Rudy Putin be begging for handout or whatever. I let Wakan Tonka help out, however, you know, because if we need something, he's going to help us get it. Somebody, there's a way out there. We can survive even without Mazaska. And this other one, he was doing a prayer on a radio show, one of these blog radio shows in L.A. He's an elderly guy, so this radio show called him up, and he would get on the radio show and start out the radio show with a prayer for money. He wasn't praying for people. He wasn't praying for help. He was praying for, and he didn't talk in a language. He talked in English. He said in English, God, Grandfather, please help us with donations. We need donations. Thank you, God. Amen. You know. Anyway. Yakety yak yak yak. those lines are open, Philip and Wayne. You guys can jump in whenever you want, you know.
Hey, Wombly, if someone's going to ask for money, you know, they should have like their own little church, you know. They could put the Wachichu in there too, you know what I mean? And do the reverse of what they did to us in those little boarding schools and everything else. That's what I think. But that is pretty bad if someone's starting to ask for money on a show like that, you know?
Well, they do it, you know why they do it? Because they see the American does it. The American on his TV shows, he has ads and they're always begging. Even Trump, even Oprah Winfrey and The Rock, right now they're begging for money for the people from Hawaii, you know?
That's right, and there's no accountability for it either. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and they all do that. So you get these natives, Indians, that's what they want to do too. That's how they think they need to do that to survive. And I'm not a rich guy, I tell you that much. At all. I'm no way rich. But you know what? This radio show has lasted for a long time. I remember years ago I started a domestic violence group in Pine Ridge Res to work with the offenders, you know, mainly men, violent men on their violence against women. And we did that for free every Thursday, I remember. Every Thursday we would go to, we got a room at Red Cloud Indian School, of all places. But we got a room there. And then pretty soon the tribal jail let us go in and have meetings inside the jail. And we did all this for free. I say we because pretty soon people was supporting it and they were helping. You know, if someone didn't have a ride, we'd go pick them up. And we did this for a few years. I mean, and it was kind of, I would say there was some success in it. The reason why is I'll give you an example. Like one guy was in prison for 5 years, and his woman raised his kids for all the 5 years. And then when he got out, he starts beating her up and kicking her, you know, whipping on her and stuff. And she called the cops on him, you know, and they locked him up. And I happened to go in, and we were going to have a meeting, so he came in. And I knew the guy, you know. I said, "How you doing, bro?" And he said, "Yeah, man." I said, "What are you in here for?" "Oh, man, the old lady, she reported me. She ratted on me, that witch from Yamaha." And he started putting her down, you know. And we were having a meeting, and he came in because it was, he got out of his cell to come to the meeting. So he starts talking like that. And I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You know what? You're the damn rat. She ain't the rat. You're the rat." And he just looked at me. I told him, "You're the damn rat." I said, "Here she is. She waits for you 5 years while you're in prison. She's raising your kids. And she must love you to wait for you all these years. And you come home and start beating her up. You're the rat. You're the no good rat." I said, "What the hell's wrong with you, man?" And he just looked, but he didn't want to challenge me, you know. I said, "You know what? When a woman waits for some guy for 5 years, you know," he said, "Well, she wasn't actually waiting. She was fooling around on me too." So what? So what? You were the one gone. You were the one out screwing around, going to prison, instead of trying to be a man and work and raise your children. It's your, you know, don't come up with that. And a couple other guys, you know. Anyway, pretty soon all these guys got involved in this program, and they all started, you know, doing it. Well, so we did this show for like 3 years, and it was for free with no money. But what happened was the college started seeing us doing this, and they started a couple of the big educated wigs from college started coming in and attending our group meetings. And they wanted to learn and see how we conduct these meetings. So they did that. And then next thing you know, they offered money. So they started to give us gas money, you know, to go do this, you know, go around, pick up people. And the more money they started putting in, the more they started putting their nose in our business. Next thing you know, long story short, our group fell apart and theirs surfaced. Theirs became a program and they all made money off it. You know, they had counselors, you know, and that's when we did the show. Well, I went to counseling. I got a counseling certificate, you know. But their program, they went and educated people to be counselors, domestic violence, and all this stuff. So theirs turned into a money project, and ours just fell apart and disappeared. And after that, even theirs don't work. Why? Because these guys that are offenders, like you call them, or whatever, most of them are people just like you and me, you know. They've been to jail, or they had drug and alcohol problems. They had this and that. So when I talked to them, I was able to communicate with them. But when you're an educated guy, these guys don't want to talk to you because you think you're above them. You're a, what do I call it, caste? you become above them. I didn't think I was above them. I just was telling them the truth. Why the hell are you beating your woman when she waited for you 5 years in prison? And, you know, why are you so jealous and this and that? I mean, you know, there's no way you're going to stop somebody from doing something if that's what you're trying to do. You know, if you meet somebody that's that way, then that's too bad. Oh, you're stuck with it. Then just get away from them. But a lot of times, things like this happen because they're drinking, there's alcohol in it, everybody's getting high, everybody's getting drunk, so everybody's fighting. And, you know, I see how it happened, this domestic violence and stuff. Anyway, I don't want to go off into that right now, but I'm just telling you how once Maza Ska gets involved in things, then they fall apart. It don't work no more. And this radio show, a couple times people sponsored it. And in the beginning, you know, I thought it's all right. But next thing you know, the people that sponsor it, next thing they're coming around talking about, why you got him on the show? Why you got her on the show? Or you need to change the time. 10 o'clock's too late. And you need to quit using that word Washichu, you know. Then they start bullying me on how to operate. So it didn't work. So I prefer not taking something from anybody and just going forward.
Hey, Wombly, real quick, I just want to mention that when people make donations or, you know, they start contributing money to a program, you know, they start contributing their mazaska to an actual cause, they want to turn that mazaska into a form of control, is what you're talking about as well. And that goes for everything. The domestic violence program you're talking about. See, you actually tailored it in the group setting. You tailored it to the individual and addressed the individual. You said the other people started coming in and invading your space there pretty much. And, you know, they wanted your technology as far as regarding how to make their own program. Sounds like to me they started getting more funding and counselors and they use your technology. But, you know, just like anything, it become a form of control. They just want to address a group so they can get paid. That's what it sounds
like.
And here's
what else happened with that. After their program, what happened was in order for you to get into their program, you started having to pay them to go to their program. So if you don't have money, there was sponsors, like say the tribe, like it's like going to a drug and alcohol program. You're supposed to pay to go to them, but they'll pay just as long as you go. So they were making money from people because the tribe would say, "Oh, you got a good program. Yeah, we'll sponsor these people. If they go to your program, we'll pay for their monthly dues or whatever." So they're making money all kinds of ways. You know what I mean? And I didn't do that. Those guys showed up with me, came on their own. And sometimes the court found out I was doing it. So the court gave their support, not with money, but they would tell people, if you go to this program here, I'll give you a lighter sentence when you come for sentencing. So, yeah, there was some kind of incentive for them to come. But the people that were showing up were actual real people that were needed some guidance, because a lot of people actually don't have guidance. They don't know how to get out of using drugs. They don't know how to get out of a violent temper. They don't know how. But you see, alcohol and drugs and cigarettes aren't as addictive as people say they are. They're not. Because think about it. Let's go to people that used to sniff glue or sniff paint when they were young. How did they quit? How did they quit sniffing glue and huffing paint? Quit it because their brain developed to another level where they thought, "Oh, that's petty shit. That's Rudy poot there, man. I ain't sniffing. See, that's a low game there, man, you know." So they quit it. They realized it wasn't looking good. It was low class, you know, running around with gold paint around your lips, glue stains on your shirt, all this stuff, and running around like a zombie. And they seen that, so they outgrew it. In other words, they sniffed and huffed glue when they was 14, 15, 16 years old. And they quit it because now they switched to beer and wine. Then moved up to drugs. It's like wine. If you drink wine all the time, they call you a wino. But if you drink champagne and Miller High Life or stuff like that, then you ain't a wino. You're just a social drinker. But if you drink wine, you're a wino. So people even quit drinking wine. They become another level. So when your brain develops to certain levels, you look at certain things and you start looking down on them. And that's what happened to me. I quit drinking alcohol. I said, man, I ain't never doing that again. And I never did. The same way with drugs. I said, damn, man, that's a sick stuff there, man. Look at that. I'm quitting that stuff. So I quit it. I quit all this stuff. He was smoking cigarettes. I said, man, smoking cigarettes, looking stupid, standing out there trying to look cool, even holding a cigarette fancy and blowing smoke rings, you know, and trying to look cool while you smoke it. I said, oh, geez, man. So I quit all that stuff. It don't look good to me. It wasn't working. I outgrew it. That's how I quit doing this stuff. And same way with violence. When you're beating up people, you know, blah, 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 and you got a temper, then people, yeah, he's a tough guy. Look, he's got a temper. You hang around people that think you're hardcore because you got a temper. You hang around people that think you're a tough guy. And they look up to you for being a tough guy. Yeah, I need him on my side, man. When I go to war, I'll just go get him. He's hot-headed, you know. But one day, you start realizing all that you lost over your temper. One day, you realize all the love lives you lost, all the mothers of your children you lost, all your friends you lost from being violent. And you start growing up, you start saying, wow, man. And you start admiring the most influential men in my life that I got respect for were people, were men who lived life without violence. They knew how to do everything and have power without violence, with just having respect, with just having class. You know what I mean? Just having some class. You know, people respect you more when you have class. When you don't fly off the handle, when something upsets you, you don't start throwing stuff at the wall, beating up your own car and stuff. People respect you when a real bad thing happens and you stand back, you know? And, you know, like I see some guys might play with their mustache or pull their goatee, but they're thinking, man, how to get through this? You know, they're thinking. And they get through it without going to jail. You say, wow, man. So now when stuff happens, you say, man, I don't want to go to jail. Like I was watching a YouTube video. This cop gave some guy a ticket. He was giving him a ticket. Well, the guy he was giving the ticket was a bodyguard to a country music star. The country music star pulls up. He pulls up, jumps out of his car, and runs to that guy's window and says, what's going on, man? We're in a hurry. What's going on here? And the cop came and says, hey, you know what? I'm giving him this is a traffic stop. You got to get out of here. Get back in your truck. And the guy starts saying, you know what? we're in a hurry, blah, blah, blah. We ain't got time for this. And the cop told him, you can get back in your truck or you can go to jail, whichever. The cop told that country music star. That country music star said, well, I'll go to jail then. Take me in. I don't give a shit. Here the cop spun him around, cuffed him up, and was taking him in. Then he started realizing, wow. Then when he was in the cop car, he said, I got to be in Boston 6 hours, he started telling the cop. We got to be in Boston. I got, you know. In other words, he wasn't, he had all this responsibility to be someplace in 6 hours, catch a plane and blah, 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 or 9 hours, I forget how long it is. But he wants to be tough and shout around. And a cop don't give a crap about your appointment. You know that. I mean, I missed airplanes over cops giving me tickets. I mean, I miss birthday parties for them hauling me in, you know. But people don't think. But a real smart person would have, when the cop said, hey, get out of here, get back. I'm giving a traffic stop. Get out of here. A smart person, oh, I'm sorry, and would have just jumped in, wait till it was over. Then after the ticket's over, he could talk well bad about the cop all he wants. But what I'm saying is we have to keep our cool, right? Isn't that having class? Well, the most influential men in my life were people like that. And I learned from them how they were cool times when people would fly off the handle and stuff. These guys wouldn't do that. You know, sometimes, you know, like I said, sometimes you have to eat a little dirt. But, you know, to get through this, deal with it later. The same thing with relationships, you know, man and woman relationships. You know, the best thing I figure out to do is jump in a car and start shifting gears. I get the hell on. You know, I mean, I shouldn't say that so loud, some, but you know what I mean? Rather than get off into a physical trip and violence, you got to figure something else out. Because the older you get, the less you want to go sit in a jail cell, right? So why is it that when you're old, you don't want to sit in a jail cell? Why is it that when you're young, well, I don't give a shit, I'll sit in a jail cell? That's because your brain ain't developed yet. You're lacking some brain development, right? So brain development is a really essential part of your life. In order to quit drugs, quit smoking, quit all your bad habits, you need to have some brain development. Now take some pride. You know, take some pride. Let your brain develop. Think of ways around these problems. And don't be vindictive either. Being vindictive is another trap you could fall in. You know? The best thing is let things slide unless you're going to die over it. Unless you're going to lose your freedom over something or die over something. But brain development, everybody can let it happen. And we need to have brain development to get our culture back in par, you know? If you want to find out who you really are, let your brain develop. let your brain say, you know what, I'm Lakota, and start getting into that. Start remembering your youth and your grandparents and your parents and how they dealt with things. Start using that. And if you don't have it, see how other people are doing. That's why I see a lot of other cultures come and Sundance with us. They hang out with us because they might have lost their culture and they hang out with us. That's why Dennis Banks started, he learned Lakota songs and was, you know, even with Sundance Helper and all that stuff I seen him piercing people and things like that. And you know, there's nothing wrong with getting knowledge from somebody else. Somebody mentioned, someone was mentioning about, you know, other cultures getting involved in other ceremonies, you know. And I believe that you need to have your own way. But if you don't, it's all right to participate and learn something that you lost, you know. Like, I have a friend, his name is Biscuit. Well, that's what we call him. And he's Apache, but he Sundance with us. And he Sundance with us for a lot of years. And then he lives in Oklahoma, so he started having sweat lodge down there. Pretty soon he started learning his own Apache songs. And his sweat lodge and stuff, they sing Apache songs. I like that, you know. We learn all this stuff, you know. We learn, like I said, I know some Shoshone songs, some Crow songs, you know. It's all right to learn these things. It's all indigenous. As long as you ain't imposing your way on others, you know. I ain't going to impose myself on nobody. I ain't going to say, well, you better carry chalupa. You better come Sundance. You better come to Inepi. I'm not going to tell you to do that. However, your people did it, you know. I mean, if you come over, I welcome you. You know, we welcome you. But, you know, we need to have common sense. So, in order, like, doing these radio programs, you know, one thing I say, you know, when I promo this show, I say we're the voice of the indigenous nations, because we are. You can be a voice for your people, and we need to be the voice of our indigenous people. They need your help. They need your influence. They need your knowledge. But don't be making up knowledge to give to somebody. I see people doing that, making stuff up, you know. And then, you know, like, it comes back, it goes, hey, man, so-and-so said you're supposed to do this and do that, you know, when maybe that ain't even the case. You know, I don't get in nobody else's way. If somebody's telling you to do something and you're doing it and I see it's wrong, I'm not going to tell you it's wrong, because you might turn on me and say, hey, you're just jealous. You're just not easy. So, you know, so I'm hoping that whatever you do, you use your own common sense. And you get by with your best abilities, you know, and, you know, kind of have an open mind and don't be trusting somebody just because they got cast. I don't like that word, but I'll probably start using it. Cast. They got status and you don't, so you think they got status, so you're gonna try to you know what I mean? You know, I just seen something on the somebody talking, and it made me remember this guy had this medicine man, you know, a big healer in everything cancer. And one of his own people got cancer and went to him for help. You know, when you go to ceremony and all that, to learn your own language and talk to in your own language, you know? But what if it's someone from another tribe that don't speak Lakota, for example? But he believes in you and your power and your ability to interpret. So he gives you a pagé and has ceremony. But you don't speak Lakota. So what are you going to do? Are you going to say, oh, it ain't going to help you until you talk Lakota or what? No, that ain't how it works. Wakan Tanka aids you in your commitment to spirituality. If you have a powerful commitment to spirituality, Wakan Tanka is going to help you. And he might even help you learn the language. You know what I mean? I don't think that anybody should say, well, since you don't speak the language, he ain't going to help you. You know? I don't think that is the way it is. But I do know, if you have a powerful commitment to your spirituality and Wakan Tanka, you're going to get help and you're going to, you know, I mean, you can't pray for, I don't pray for myself because, you know, I just understand that I can't do that, you know. So we got to pray for people. But I remember this one case, you know, like I said, this guy, the spirits told him what to do, but they told him in language he didn't understand. So he died from cancer. He died from cancer because they said, He didn't know it. He didn't. They gave him instruction in the language, and that's not. He didn't understand it, so that's his fault. You know, we gotta keep in mind. I see this out there in the chat. You know, talking about chosen people. Nobody's. We're all equal. The only difference between us and others is some of us have different dreams and different ways. You know, like say I'm a good mechanic, but Philip's a good carpenter. Does that make me better than Philip, or does that make Philip better than me? No, it don't. We both serve a purpose. And we all serve a purpose. So Walk on Tonka is going to help us both. You know? Anyway, there is no chosen one, you know? Or I was chosen to be a mechanic and Philip was chosen to be a carpenter. I guess you could say that. But people throw that around like the story of Jesus. He is a chosen one to be Jesus or Moses or what's that? Bhima or Buma, oh, Buddha as well, and other religions. Nobody's chosen ones. We're all the same. You know, if there's only me and you on this earth, and only you to pray for me, and you're speaking another language, and you pray for me in your language, I'm going to be happy. Going to be hurt. That's just how I think. Now, you guys can think what you want. But you guys should jump in if you want. Wayne?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just listening in, and I like a lot of what's going on the show tonight. I do want to mention one thing that's like a little off topic, and this has to do with this earthquake that just took place in Morocco. And there's 2,000 people that have lost their lives in this earthquake, and I just want everybody to, you know, think about those people, pray the way you pray. I know I personally put down some tobacco and said some prayers for them. The whole town of Morocco is just devastated. It's from what I saw from the news reports and YouTube videos of the scene, it's really, really bad.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. You know, earthquakes are pretty terrible things, especially in certain areas. I was in L.A. when they had a few earthquakes, you know, and they didn't feel bad to me. They were strange. It was a strange occurrence. But when I went downtown and started seeing freeways crushed and buildings hanging over, I said, wow, you know. I was in a house where just, you know, stuff fell off the shelves and stuff like that, you know. And I had a load of hay on my truck. I was delivering hay. I used to deliver hay to California. And I went to my truck, and my hay was laying all over the side of the truck, you know. So, you know, and a lot of people died in that earthquake. And, you know, getting smashed up. And I know earthquakes are pretty bad, you know. And,
yeah,
you know, like, I was watching videos of the one in Mexico City. And they're digging people out from under the ground 2 weeks later that are still alive. Can you imagine laying under the ground for 2 weeks and not being able to get out? But finally somebody helps you? You know,
it's got to be a really scary or terrifying situation to be in. You know that.
Yeah,
just pray that somebody comes and finds you because you've basically been buried alive.
Yeah, and that stuff right now, thinking about it, just makes me feel horrible. You know, I mean, I don't even want to think about it no more. But, you know, like, stuff happens in this earth. You know, what gets me is how, you know, these politicians, Trump, Biden, all of them, they think they rule the world. Well, Wakantaka can change anything, anytime. Right now, there's another hurricane heading up down that way. You know? And,
yeah,
you know, people are sitting over here waiting for Yellowstone to blow up. And it could. I remember when Mount St. Helens blew up.
Yeah,
I
me
wasn't
too.
There, but I was there after that. You know? I was there when it was still smoking because I drove truck and seen what it did. And I thought, damn. And then just wildfires. How a lot of deaths occurred just with wildfires and floods. You know, I mean, anything can happen anytime. And we're just, you know, the human race is the most pitiful creature on earth. A little mouse in the closet is more powerful than we are. You know?
Yeah. I think San Manuel on the chat has it, you know, said it perfectly, just like you just did. He says we can be reminded in an instant that we don't call the shots. And that's true. Tekashi and Uchi Makah are the ones that call the shots.
Yeah. I mean, you know, animals are more tougher than we are. An animal don't need to worry about how he's going to make it through the winter because he's going to make it. You know, unless something bigger gets them to eat them, you know. But, I mean, a bird can fall off a nest out of a tree and land on the ground and not even break nothing. You know? Man, if we fall off a chair, we can break a leg or something, you know? I mean, humans, we're nobody. We're nothing. But we're the most biggest mouth creatures that out there, you know, all macho, all arrogant and everything. When, you know, what gets me is like an eagle. What's the first thing an eagle does when he gets old, when he gets past being a teenager? What's the first thing he does? He flies. We can't even fly, and we think we're bad. You know? I mean,
you know, I think too, you know, we humans are so far out of touch with Mother Earth, and all the other creatures are so in tune. You ever think about it? All the stories that you hear about earthquakes and things happening, you know, that the earth does, and you watch the animals, and people have reported, you know, they noticed all the animals got quiet or all the animals started moving away from this area.
Tsunami? How about that tsunami? Remember in India, that big, bad tsunami? They say all the elephants took off to higher ground before it even happened.
we don't observe the natural world around us.
Well, that's why we lived in teepees. And we lived in teepees. That's when we were more smarter. But it's not our fault we don't live in teepees now. We're forced out of them because now if we try to live in a teepee, they'll take our kids away from us because we don't have a special room for them. we don't have running water or whatever, you know. Now, that's why Indians on the rest have to live in big, giant trailer houses. They can't even keep heat because the state will take away your kids. If you have five kids, then everybody should have a room, you know. But you go to other countries, people live in houses as big as, you know, what they could survive. When I was small, my grandma had a one-room house with a dirt floor, and four of us lived in there, and we was always warm. There was no running water. Grandma just brought water, and they used to have these milk containers, you know. She had them filled with water. That's how we lived. Every morning she'd fill up a water basin and make me wash my face and all that stuff, you know. So that's how we lived. I lived like that. And we were comfortable. I remember when we lived in a tent, Philip, those white tents, those military tents, those little tents. There was a time when everybody lived in a tent. And in the wintertime, Grandma and them just put Sears catalogs stuck up on the wall around the tent to make them thicker. And then they had a little wood stove inside of the tent. Shit, we was warm and cozy, you know. But nowadays, you can't do that. Because if you live like that, they'll take your kids from you. You know? The government has control of your kids. And that's another big weakness of our society. Because when another power is in charge of your kids, then you have to obey that power or lose your kids. So we all eat mud because we have kids. We have to prove, you know, we can't just, you know, they own your kids. They'll take your kids from you whenever they want, you know. But, yeah, that's true what you say, all what you say, because our society we live in, this forced society that's imposed upon us, denies us our own cultural ways of life. You know, we can survive real good without them. Like, I was looking at all the pale faces telling the Hawaiians, you need us. Who will buy your pineapples? No one's going to buy your pineapples. No one. You guys can't survive without us. Well, you know what? We don't need you to buy our pineapples, or, you know, if we're Hawaiians. We only need enough pineapples for ourselves. And we got the whole ocean around us. We can fish, you know? You know? We don't need them either over here. But look it. We have them. We have them on our ass every day. But we don't need them. We just got used to. What would happen if they all got up and took off back to Europe? Remember, we talked about this before. If they got up and left us, what would we do? I think we'd do just fine and dandy. I think that we wouldn't have no fence. Oh, no fence no more. Let's go down. You know, let's just start. Let's go hunt. Let's go grow. Let's go, you know, now we can do what we want. We don't need their ass. We don't even need a car. Let's just jump on the horses. We don't need to have fuel. Just let our horses eat grass, graze, you know. All of us can do better without them. As long as they're here, we're stuck living in their way. We're stuck with propane. We're stuck with gas. We're stuck with the internet. We're stuck with cell phones. We're stuck with bills, bills, bills. We have to go to the store to eat. You know? I mean, we can gripe all day about it, but, you know, I don't even need to mention about these illegal cows that run around our res. And, you know, last week, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I went down to Rosebud Dam. I passed by there. I haven't been there in a while, and I almost cried when I seen it. The dam was almost empty. I never seen Rosebud Dam that empty. You could see the ground all the way around it, and it looked so ugly and horrible to me. And when I was young, all our life, we swam in that place, went fishing there. It was the most beautiful place. They ruined this place. They ruined He Dog Dam, big. We used to catch big fish. Oglala Dam, all these dams, because they bring in their cows and they give their cows chemicals so they can get fat quicker. And them cows pee out them chemicals into our rivers, into our streams, into our water. And we can't even grow nothing. Then they grow corn. They grow corn south of here, big cornfields. But Indians don't go over there and steal the corn. You know why? Because we know better. We seen those airplanes dropping pesticides and stuff over them so that keep the bugs out of their corn. How, we ain't going to eat no corn like that. You know? So if we got rid of them, everything we eat was good. Right now they say, well, eat wildlife. We can't even eat wildlife. Because the deer is sick. The elk is sick because they're drinking that same water, the same pesticides that everything else eats. You know, they ruined us. If they left us, we'd do just fine. You know? Anyway, you guys are free to talk. Time's just ticking. Layla's over there laughing. What's happening,
cool,
Layla?
Yeah, let's hear what Layla has to say.
Well, I agree with every single thing you said.
I'm cool. Hey, I'm cool but sweet.
You be nice, man.
Call me Popsicle because I'm cool but sweet.
Hey, where's Denver?
I don't know. You know what? He been having, like, from what I understand, see where his wife and them live in the hills. Well, I don't want to put his stuff out there. But they don't have reception.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's ceremony time, and everybody's tying up all, you know. So,
you know, I'm curious, what tribe was Dennis Banks?
What's that?
What tribe was Dennis Banks from? Dennis Banks.
Ojibwe.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Ojibwe. Wasn't he, Philip? He's Ojibwe, from far as I know.
Yeah.
Yes. Where?
But, you know, he, you see, he ran around the Pine Ridge Res all the time. You know, back in the 60s, the Rosebud Res, especially down Crow Dogs, that's why they call it Crow Dog's Paradise, was always a beautiful place to be. And all these Indians from different parts of Rover and living in California and during Alcatraz, all this stuff, and all these hippies were hanging around. So the hippies had these vans and they were giving Indians ride all over the country. So a lot of times, you know, that's how these hippies ended up down on Crow Dogs and all that. And a lot of them are still there. They're just old men now and old women.
Wow. You know?
But they came around and helped out, used to help. And Dennis Banks and all them, same way, you know. And a lot of times, you know, most of it was mating season is what I called it, you know. All these different women and men showing up at different places and how, you know, I mean, anyway, that's why a lot of these guys, Amesters, had different wives from all over, and a lot of these AIM women had different men from all over. You know, I know like Carter Capp had a couple Lakota women, you know. Well, a lot of these other tribes, Dennis had Lakota women. And then Lakotas were having their women, you know. You know. So that's how it was back then, you know. Anishinaabe, you said, is that what you're saying? Dennis was Anishinaabe? Or is that, I thought Anishinaabe, I don't know how to say it either. I don't know how to spell it either. But I thought that was just another name. Yeah.
No, Anishinaabe is what they call themselves. Anishinaabe is what they call themselves. But, you know, they were called Ojibwe by the French, and the British called them Chippewa.
Uh-huh.
And just like us, they called us Sioux, you know?
Yeah.
And we're not Sioux, you know. And, you know, so we all got a bad rap. And I see a lot of California tribes. Look at those tribes in Idaho, Coeur d'Alene tribe, you know. What was Chief Joseph's tribe? You don't have a brain lock. And when you get old like me, you don't remember nothing, you know. You know. Oh, Nez Perce.
Nez Perce, hey,
somebody
right.
Remembers. You know. You see, they came over here, this invasive species, and they started calling us all kinds of names. They changed the names of everything, rivers, mountains, everything. Even changed the names of the animals, you know. But, you know, so anyway, if you guys got any last comments, time to speak up.
You know, I love you.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good show
Layla.
Tonight.
Oh.
Super show.
Excellent show, man.
Yeah. Oh, is that Wayne? Did you wake up?
No, hey, Lori just got pulled over by one of those military cops over here.
Oh, really?
So I was out busy doing that. So.
No, seriously?
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I live right down the street from concurrent jurisdiction. That's why they pulled her over right before she hit civilian territory. So I was out there for a few minutes.
My.
Yeah, so they have their military res over there, you know, their federal military reservation over there, pulling people over looking for drunks. They gave her a warning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they try to lie on her and try to pull her out of the car. You know how that goes.
As long as, hey, Wayne, as long as you weren't over there sucking ass.
No.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah,
know.
I know. They gave her a warning.
We always say. One time I was with my bro, and the cops stopped us, you know. And man, we had guns and stuff in the car, and the cops stopped us. So I was thinking, I said, what stopped us for? He said, you got a crack in the windshield. Oh, I'm sorry, you know. I said, I'm sorry, yeah, I'll fix that, you know. I'm there being nice to the cop, and all of a sudden my bro over there is telling me, quit sucking ass. he tell me that right in front of the cop. The cop said, what? he said, he hurt. Yeah, oh, bro, quit sucking ass, he told me, you know, because I was driving the car and I wanted to get the hell out of there. So the cop said, well, I won't write you up. I'll just let you go, you know. Anyway, we're going to have to roll on out of here, you know. So you all take care. And I don't say y'all. I say you all take care and have a good week. And let's all stay in touch. And don't worry, Wayne. You know, walk on Tonko will take care of those people for you. You know. And we're going to have to roll out of here. And thank you guys for coming, Wayne, Philip, Layla, all them in the chat, John, that Sam, or San Manuel. Anyway, thank you and everybody that tunes in. Wastelo, Toksha, Ke. You know, and
Toksha,
Ke. Head out.
Toksha.
You know, you're going to die alone.
for me, mama. No more suffering to be done. No more pain and no more sorrow.
Sa hemo veću tu. I na otopšao petu LNG, juški, a kevonki si ga koptelo.